Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Nader, and I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Jim McCarty back as my guest for Live Your Music. Join us for a conversation about the Yardbirds, books, music, love, and life. Plus, you'll also get to hear two songs by Jim during the show. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Margot. Lovely to be here.
It's so lovely to have you back. I enjoyed having you on the first two times, both times, so much. It just, you know, I really couldn't wait to have you back on again and talk with you about your music and books and love and life and all of that, angels, too.
Well, that's nice to know. Lovely to know.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, I want to start out with talking about a little, have you talking a little bit about the Yardbirds, and then go into talking about Lizzie, and then we're going to play some songs. So that my guests who are the younger guests that don't know the Yardbirds as well can learn a little bit about your background from that. And if they want to know more, they can read your whole book, Nobody Told Me, which is a fantastic book. I love that book. And, yeah, so start out with a little bit about the Yardbirds first.
Fine. What do you want to know?
Well, what do I want to know? Tell the listeners a little bit about when that started and who was in the band at the beginning. And
well, it goes back a long way. It goes back to 1963, I believe. And we were all the members of the band were all in the living in the South London area. Surrey, I guess, the county of Surrey, which was just outside London. And we suddenly heard this, what we called R&B music, which was actually blues music, as they call it now, coming in from the States. And it was people like Howling Wolf and Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, all these great musicians that seemed to play this very exciting music that we hadn't really heard before. And we were so keen on it, we wanted to play. So we were all musicians. So a couple of us were at school together, and in fact, we were all at school together, but different schools. Three of them were at Kingston Art School, and me and Paul Samuel Smith, the bass player, who I've just seen actually, we were at grammar school, high school as you call it in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So and we were very keen and enthusiastic, and we started off playing little clubs, and we originally had a lead guitarist called Top Topham, who was from Kingston Art School, as I said, and his parents didn't want him to be in a band. They wanted him to study and become an artist. And they didn't approve of him playing in a band every night. So he left, and we got a replacement who was called Eric Clapton, who you may have heard of.
Eric Clapton, yeah.
And so he was with us for a while, and then when we started having hit records, he didn't really approve. He wanted to play the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first hit record we had, which was called For Your Love, and he left the band. And then we got Jeff Beck in, who was recommended by Jimmy Page, who later played in Zeppelin, another famous band.
Yeah.
So we had Jeff Beck, and then finally we had Jimmy Page as well. So we had all those three guitar players, and we had quite a few hits in the end. For Your Love, Heart Full of Soul, Shapes of Things, Still I'm Sad, I'm a Man, Over Under, Sideways Down. And so, you know, we lasted for about 5 years before we split up. So that's more or less a canned.
Well, you know, I think I probably first heard the Yardbirds in 66, approximately 66. And, oh, I love the songs For Your Love and Heart Full of Soul. Those are two of my favorites for sure of those.
Yes. And where were you? Were you in California?
I've been in California my entire life. And I was born in Palo Alto, California, but we moved to Shasta County when I was only 5 and a half. So I was living out in the country, and I loved listening to the radio station that had the top hits on it. And, you know, hits that weren't necessarily brand new either. But, you know, yeah, I loved doing that and listening to the radio and singing along with the music on the radio. So, you know, music has always just given me so much joy, and I'm so thankful for music.
I think the Yardbirds were a bit more popular in California, because I think they all, the most of the people in California thought we were high on drugs, you know, because of our music.
I was not high on drugs at all. I was, I was pretty young at that point, and I was only about 12, I think, you know, something like that. But, yeah, I loved it, and, you know, I don't know. I'm just so glad that you guys played your songs, and I'm glad that I've had you on the show the other two times, too. And, yeah, it's what a life you've had, though.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Because it goes back a long way, and we never thought we would still be doing it. So, you know, so many years later. So, and it's been incredible, really. And I've been able to do other projects and do my own stuff and be with different bands and keep my hand in music, which has been great. So I've been very lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people go to your website, they can see the different things that you've done, and it's just, and are doing now, you know, because you're still in the Yardbirds currently, right? I mean, back together with performing the songs as well.
Yes, we have an American band now. We're no longer a British Invasion. I'm the only British Invader now. The rest of them are all Americans, but they're very good, and they really know the Yardbirds, you know, really, really thoroughly, and they're really great musicians.
Well, that's so cool. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about your book, She Walks in Beauty, and about your wife Lizzie, and about how you can still feel her with you now. And
well, this has been quite a revelation for me. Every day I think to myself, well, I've never had anything like this happen. And in a way, it's sort of tragic to lose my wife, which happened about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's sort of beautiful, you know, because she's obviously there. I did get a lot more signs from her at one time, but apparently that's the way it is. They become closer and closer to you, and you don't get so many signs. So I've heard. I get little thoughts in my mind and little memories all the time. And if I've got a problem, I ask her for some advice. And I usually get the answer. I have a little session. You know, you said you have a session with the Artist's Way, which is a great idea. But I sit down every day and have a little session with her, and see what comes up, and she might say, oh, it's going to be a good day, you know, I suggest you do this, or she might come up with some advice, or she might just tell me something which happens to happen, you know, it's very odd, but it's rather a lovely experience, you know, when I think about it, I was sort of had to write a book about it because I'd already done Nobody Told Me, which is like an autobiography, and with a guy called Dave Thompson, who's an English sort of real rock and roll writer. Mm-hmm. And then I contacted Dave again because somebody suggested, oh, why don't you do a book about all these things that are happening to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted Dave. I thought, oh, he won't be interested in this. You know, he's a rock and roll writer. and I told him what it was about. And he said, oh, yes, I'd love to do that, really. I've had those sort of experiences myself. And so we had a lot of fun doing it. And that's been out for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about my various experiences I had in the band, you know, strange experiences I had, and it goes up to lots of stories about Lizzie.
Mm, yeah. You know, I feel like I know Lizzie because of reading the book and then also talking with you on the show the last couple times. I don't know. I can feel her with me myself, you know. And like I was telling you earlier that today is the 25th of October, 2023, and my mom became an angel, that's what I like to call it, on October 25th of 2006, so 17 years ago. And I can still remember so clearly how I sat down and wrote a question to her on a page after I found out, and set my timer to meditate for 15 minutes and then let her write through me onto the page. And that was so helpful. And I have done that so many times over the years where I write a question, set the timer for 15 minutes and meditate, basically do it every day after I do my morning pages. And I let, you know, I don't always ask my mom what she's saying. Sometimes I'll ask other people that are angels and guides of mine, what they're trying to tell me, or just what I need to know, that sort of thing. But I highly recommend it as a way to communicate with people who are not here physically anymore. Let's put it that way. You know, we can all agree on that, even though some people don't agree that they're angels. Yeah.
Well, they're all, nobody actually dies, do they? So we all carry on in a different state, because consciousness carries on. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
And I thought about things like this a lot before Lizzie died, but having it, you know, right in my face and really going through it, I can understand it much better now. It's very interesting. and it gets better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I found that as long as I'm in my present moment and feeling appreciation for what's right in my life and what I have to be grateful for and thankful for, and I'm enjoying my life in the present moments and the now, that's when I can feel my mom and my other angels with me. But if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling really tired, and I do get that way sometimes, tired, grumpy, you know, people will go, what happened to Miss Positive right now? But no, if I'm feeling those things, I can't feel her with me or them with me. So, you know, have you noticed that as well?
Well, yes, I have, but I actually learned that in because I did some medium workshops, you know, to learn how to communicate, and that was one of the things I learned, that if you feel in your heart sort of a grateful for things and feel thankful to various people, it raises your heart, you know, and it's easier to connect with them.
The first song that I wanted to play is Connected by you, and it's from your album Walking in the Wild Land. And do you want to say anything about it before I play it, or do you want to just talk about it after I play it?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, this song, because when I recorded Walking in the Wild Land, I did it as an album, from square one with all the same musicians. And this song, Connected, was done at a different time. It was still recorded in Toronto, but I think it was recorded maybe a year or two before.
Hmm.
And I had it in the can, and I had a great producer, Terry Brown, working on it, an English guy who produced a lot of Rush albums and a lot of Canadian acts, and he's a great guy. And I said, well, I've got this other track, Connected, but I don't know whether it's going to fit, you know. So I played it to him, and he said, oh, yeah, I like that one. Let's put that one on as well. So that was sort of in danger of not getting on the album at first, because it wasn't part of the concept, but it sneaked in, and of course it's got a nice message, the fact that we are all connected and on that sort of level, which is interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, wow. Well, excuse me, I've been listening to it a lot, and it makes me happy. It makes me feel good, and it makes me feel connected. I really like that. It's 4 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then we'll talk again after the song finishes playing, okay?
Okay, Margot. Bye.
Okay, here we go. Connected by Jim McCarty.
Thank you.
him.
Were you having a dance in the studio to that one, Margot?
What was that?
Were you having a dance to that one?
Was
Were
I having
dancing?
A dance with it? Yes. It's also a really good one for listening to on my with my AirPods on my iPhone while I'm walking, you know? I mean, it really makes you feel like walking and just enjoying being out in nature, too. But I also like it for in here. But you're right. I mean, it makes you move. I've always liked songs and music that make you move, make you feel like singing and dancing, one or the other or both. Both is best.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of rockier song on that album. Most of the songs are quite folky, aren't they? That's the rockiest one.
It is. But, you know, it's nice having that contrast with the other songs. And like I think I was telling you before, I've been listening to that album a lot while I have it on, while I'm doing my work. And or even just while I'm, you know, cleaning up the kitchen or whatever else. And it's nice to have it on in the background because it makes me feel so good. So,
yeah,
you know.
I always like to get a sort of positive energy over in the songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of blues songs, obviously, in the Yardbirds and, you know, a little bit sad. But the songs I write, I think I concentrate on, I like positivity, so it's nice that cheers you up.
It does. It really does. And, you know, it's interesting you should say that, too, though, because someone I know gave a speech recently at my Toastmasters Club about sad songs, the joy of sad songs, she called it. And true that, you know, sad songs tend to get listened to over and over again a lot of times, and I think because when people are feeling sad, they can relate to it, and their vibrations are that. But
yeah.
I had this realization, though, during my morning pages a few days later, that you can't listen to sad songs all the time and feel happy, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
it sounds obvious, but it's true. You can't listen to sad songs all the time and be happy. So, you know, it's important that if you're going to listen to sad songs, listen to them, but then work your way up the scale. Some happier songs.
Yes. Well, I'm glad it has that effect on you, Margot. I think that's what I would have wanted, you know, writing those songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. And I highly recommend, excuse me, that people listen to that album. I've been listening to it on Spotify, but I'd also like to get the CD. Where can I get the CD?
I'm not sure. The trouble is they're not making the CDs now.
Oh, I know. I love CDs, though.
No, I know. I know. It's a shame, isn't it? But Demon Records in the UK have just re-released the album, and of course it's all downloads. So
I guess that's what I'll have to do. Yeah,
I'll have to
download it. But I really, really, really like that album a lot. And then, well, we've got 17 minutes left, and I wanted to also play the song that it's a newer song of yours, Breath of the Wind, as well. And do you want to talk about that a little bit first, and then we'll play it and then talk some more about it?
Yes, that was interesting because after Lizzie died, which was in June of 2020, I used to spend a lot of time with a Swedish friend who had a little studio nearby, one of my neighbors, and he was more of an engineer, and he said, "Oh, if you've got any songs, you know, put them down. I'll record them." And he had a little setup in his house.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded this song, which was this one, became The Breath of the Wind, just with me and the guitar. And it was about my experience that I was going through with Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to get a session with a medium, a woman called Suzanne Giesman, who's a famous US medium. And I was lucky because I must have jumped the waiting list because she has like a 3-year waiting list or something. Anyway,
wow.
I got to have a session, and first of all, she picked up my parents, and she was talking through my parents, you know, talking about them and stuff. And then she said, "Oh, your wife's been very, very patiently waiting here." And she stepped forward, and she says, "Oh, you've written her a song." So I said, "Well, I suppose I have. Yes, I've written her a song." And she said, very, very determined to me, she said, I want to hear that song. Please send it to me. I want to listen." So I sent her that version that I'd done with my friend, which was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, listen, this is not finished. This is just a demo, you know. This is not a finished song."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, I love it." She said, it's great. You know, you've really got the... You've really got, with those lyrics, you know, you've really got the feeling of what's going on for you, and it's very beautiful." And so I thought, "Oh, yes, well that's lovely." So I'll work on that. And I'd worked with somebody in Canada before called Hugh Sign. And Hugh is famous for doing record cover design. And he's won lots of awards for his designs. He's done Rush and Aerosmith and some other heavy metal bands and stuff. But he did a few arrangements on that album, Walking in the Wildland, for me, which I liked. And I thought, well, he really gets the song, you know. He really does elaborate it and make it complete. So I sent him this demo that Suzanne had heard, and he said, "Oh, well, what a lovely song! It's sort of, you know, very beautiful, very, very sad. I'll get to do something with that. I've got to set up my Pro Tools rig or something. I've just moved house to somewhere in Ohio or somewhere." From Canada. He was originally in Toronto. And then I didn't hear for ages, you know. I sent him a couple of emails, said, "Oh, what's happened?" And I didn't have any reply. Then about 2 years later, all of a sudden, I get this email from him, and he said, "Well, I've worked on your song." And he came up with this arrangement, that, you know, the one that you could hear. And I thought, wow, what a job he's done, you know, because I thought he'd forgotten about it. And he came up with this, and I thought, well, I sent it to Terry Brown to mix and produce, which he did very easily. And then I was very pleased because the Demon decided to put it out as a standalone single. I think it was the first time that had happened to me, so I was very happy. So I was happy with it, and I loved the arrangement, and I think it works really beautifully.
I do too. I love it too. I'd like to play it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more after the song. Okay. It's 3:59, so just under 4 minutes. And Breath of the Wind, Jim McCarty.
mother when she's calling me to make her leap. Riding along on the butterfly wing, I need to wake up from the sleep.
Oh, Jim, that is such a beautiful song.
Yes, it's actually somebody who did an interview with me did a little video for it, and it's on.
Oh, really?
So you can find it on YouTube, and it's really lovely. It's very simple, but it's nice watching the video with it. It's very nice.
Well, how would people find the video? Do they just go to YouTube and search Breath of the Wind?
Breath of the Wind by Jim McCarty. Yeah, you'll find the video version. It's on.
Well, I will be checking that out later too. I went out for a walk this morning before the show, and I was listening to Connected on the way going up the hill, and the sun was out, and I could feel my mom shining on me. And I was thinking, connected, connected, connected. I was just feeling so connected. And then on the way back, because I went for a short walk today, I listened to Breath of the Wind. And interesting thing is on the way back, I could feel this light breeze blowing on my face. And it was... It was kind of like an ooga booga, you know. It was kind of like, oh, wow, the breath of the wind is actually
wonderful.
Here
That's
right
lovely.
Now.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we are all connected, you know. We're all connected. There's nobody separate in the whole world, really. We're all connected on some level or other, and also connected with the people on the other side, you know, the people that have passed on. It's all very interesting.
It is very interesting. And, you know, Wayne Dyer used to say, none of us knows enough to be a skeptic, I think he was saying. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we know? You know, I mean, I feel so connected with those people that I love that are, as you said, on the other side, or I call them angels. Just because it's an easier thing for me to think about. But I can feel them with me. Like I said, as long as I'm feeling in my present moments and feeling good, I can't feel them if I'm feeling upset or angry or in ego. Egos.
Yes,
ego is
right.
One way to feel disconnected, right?
Yes. Yeah, we go to that deeper part of ourselves, don't we? You know, somebody asked me about one of the lines in that song. A friend of mine said, what do you mean she's telling you to make a leap? Because I'm saying she's telling me to make a leap. Is she asking you to you know, commit suicide or something? Is
oh,
that
my
what
God.
You mean? And I said, no, she's telling me to make a leap in consciousness. You know, where I raise my consciousness, then I can connect with her. That's the whole point of that line.
Yeah, that's well, that's what I took it as being.
Yes.
But, you
and
know, everybody sees things through their own perspective, you know, and their own experience. And...
Well, exactly. So he's probably learned something now through that.
Yeah. You know, chapter 2 of my book is called What You Believe Creates Your Version of Reality. And it's so true. I mean, whatever people believe, you know, that's the reality
that
they live in. And
yes.
If it's one that you're happy living in, that's great. If it's not, then maybe it's a time to take a look at some of the things that you're choosing to believe. And decide to believe things that make you feel good instead. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's a lovely title, Margot. Really nice.
Yeah. Well, we only have 3 minutes left. So what would you like to talk about and leave our listeners with during the last 3 minutes?
Well, we've been going quite well, haven't we? I think all the positive things stand out for me, and being thankful and gratitude, all these things, I've found out that they raise your heart, you know. They're all about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the connection with all the angels, as you say, and
mm-hmm.
the people through on the other side, the connection is through the heart. It's
right.
Not through the mind. It's not the mind, it's the heart. And once we get into that, that then we can do that, you know, then we can communicate like that. And the mind is like part of the ego, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is the one heart, really. The one consciousness that we've all got everywhere, you know. I'm not trying to be too deep.
No, I totally get it. And excuse me, it's kind of more like it's the feeling side of life. I had mentioned to you about Julia Cameron talking about logic brain and artist brain. And artist brain feels things. Artist brain feels things. Logic brain tries to put everything in order. And if it's not something they're familiar with, she was saying, then they're going, no, that's wrong. But it's when you're allowing yourself to imagine freely instead of trying to figure it all out.
I know.
That's
I know.
When you can feel it, you know?
Yes, that's what I was saying that when we were talking, you know, the quote that said you have to relinquish the need to understand. You don't need to understand. It's something of the ego, or we always need to understand, but we have to let that go, and then we can feel it, as you say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for being back on my show. Also, thank you for all of the ways that you live your music. Writing the songs, writing your books, you know, recording the songs, and them being a gift to the world. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Margot. Thank you for letting me be heard and my songs be heard. That's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I want everybody to listen to them. I think that they're going to feel really good if they do. So,
great.
You are a gift to the world, and your music is a gift to the world.
What can I say?
Yeah, just say
thank you very much, Margaret.
Okay. Bye for now.
All right.
Jim. Bye for now, everyone.
Have a lovely day.
Yeah.
Bye.
Have a lovely day. Everyone out there, remember, live your music. Bye.
Hello. We're Partnership Health Plan of California. We've been around for over 25 years. Partnering with local doctors, your neighbors, maybe even you. Partnership is who we are. We're your partner in checkups.
In telehealth.
In cancer screenings.
In prenatal care.
In healthy families.
We're your partner in Medi-Cal.
We're your partner in health. Visit us at partnershiphp.org.